me interested in the topic about adding phrases during davening was I just yesterday the Masmidim visited Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. He was up in the mountains for the weekend, and he gave a shiur in Luxor Estates. So we went to visit him, and we heard a shiur from him. So I remember a couple of years ago, Rav Asher Weiss was talking about his Rebbe. Who was Rav Asher Weiss's Rebbe? It was a Kleisenberger Rebbe. The Kleisenberger Rebbe was a very, very impressive and important person. He went through the Holocaust, lost 11 children in the Holocaust. I believe after he survived, he got remarried and had, I think, like 8 more children or 9 more children. Some like unbelievable, like really built a whole family, a whole Hasidus. And he determined that he was going to rebuild a Hasidus in Eretz Yisrael also. So after he rebuilt in Williamsburg, he went to Eretz Yisrael and built a massive empire there. And he decided, during the Holocaust, he decided he was going to build, if he ever makes it through, he's going to build a hospital for Jewish people. So there's a hospital, Laniado Hospital, in Netanya, is built by the Kleisenberger Rebbe and his Hasidim. Unbelievable person. So anyway, Rav Asher said that growing up, he recalls as a little boy living in Borough Park, he went for a Shabbos and Yom Tov to 131 Lee Avenue, which was the Kleisenberger Shul in Williamsburg. And he remembers the Kleisenberger Rebbe at some point moved to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Asher Weiss did also. But as a very little boy, he was growing up in America. That's why if you ever heard Rav Asher Weiss speak, his English is fantastic, right? Because he grew up till the age of Bar Mitzvah in America. So his first language was Yiddish, but you know, his second language was English. So he said that he remembers looking at the face of the Kleisenberger Rebbe and seeing him davening and crying and talking to Hashem like a child crying to his father. Like Chazal described Choni HaMa'agel, like you ever learned the Gemara in Tainus with Choni HaMa'agel? It's like a child talking to his father. And he says, Rav Asher said, those impressions of that are etched into his mind forever. He said, you can never forget the image of what it looks like to see the Kleisenberger Rebbe Davin. And he says, as a child, he was never used to seeing adults cry. But he saw what the Kleisenberger Rebbe, when he was crying, it wasn't out of pain, it was out of dveikus. And he was just crying out of pure connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll quote Rav Asher Weiss said, to see him daven was such an experience. He would cry by every Shemona Esrei. He would talk to Hashem in Yiddish. One of the phrases, let's see if I could pronounce it correctly, was Tata Klein, a crown, a Heliga Tata. There's a tshuva in the Imre Yosher where someone asks if you're allowed to be mafsik in Shemona Esrei to ask bakashos in Yiddish. And he said that it's not right, but tzaddikim sometimes do it. So since tzaddikim sometimes do it, it's not a hafsik. He said his davening was with bechios no ra'us, was an awesome experience. There was a story when he was a very young avreich. At 14, he was already crowned a Rebbe. His father-in-law was a brother of the Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rebbe, who was instrumental in getting him the job of the Rav of his shul. The Minchas Aluzer came to Kleisenberg. Minchas Aluzer was the Munkacher, right? Came to Kleisenberg, and following protocol, he went to visit the Marad Asra, and they found that he was in the middle of davening, and then found that he was up to Vayivarech David. So he asked, is he holding by Yivarech or by David? Right? Meaning, like, he wanted to know. He was by Vayivarech David, so he wanted to know how long he was going to have to wait. So he said, is he by Vayivarech or by David? Meaning, he davened so slowly that made a nafkamina, you know? You know, it's like the Yaki who tells his wife that he's, right, what's the old joke with the Yaki that tells his wife that he's going to be home a little late from shul tonight because they're starting the St. Talam Matar, right? You know, the extra quarter of a second, right? So is he holding by Yivarech or by David? So it's a joke, but there was truth to it. He said, you would never know how long his davening would take. Like, it could take an hour and a half, it could take 10 minutes. Like, you have no idea. It's just a matter of how far away his dveikus took him at that time. But it was always with Bechius. He said, we never saw this in any other gadol in our time. But it begs the question, like, are you allowed to do that? I mean, he would just scream out in the middle, oh, you heilige b'shefer, heilige tata in himmel. You know, he'd just scream out in the middle, like in the middle of Shemona Esrei. He's screaming out, you know, holy father, whatever. And doesn't matter whether it's in Hebrew or any other language. So the Gemara in Tainus Daf Gimel says that even though rain is seasonal, the winds and the dew never stop, right? At Talu Matar, Matar is seasonal. Tal is marat tal is something that's perfectly consistent, and mashav ruach is perfectly consistent. So mashav ruach marat tal would be appropriate to say any time, but you don't say marat geshem. So Gemara says that if somebody says mavir ruach mafriach atal instead of marat tal, meaning that the person davens that the wind or the dew should stop, he doesn't have to go back because it's nonsense. The whole thing that he said is ridiculous. Hashem never stops the dew; he never stops the wind, right? So in the Gilyonos Kihilos Yaakov, which is the Stipler, he says that you see from here that adding irrelevant things into your tefillah is apparently not a hefsek. Because what does the Gemara say? That if a person says, Mavir ruach mafriach atal, that Hashem should stop the wind or stop the dew, that's absurd to stop the wind or stop the dew, and therefore you don't have to repeat Shemon Esrei, because he wasn't asking for anything that was even shayach. What do you mean? He just added extra words into Shemon Esrei, a total hefsek in the Shemon Esrei. Elamai says Achilles Yaakov, it's not a problem. It's not a problem of a hefsek when you add in irrelevant things into the Shemon Esrei. The Ritva in Tainus Daf Gimel seems to say the same thing. And the Ritva quotes his own Rebbe that if you realize that you missed something in the Bracha, and it's something that had you finished the Bracha, you wouldn't have to go back for, and you already said Baruch Ata Hashem, you could just say Lamdeni Chukecha to keep the bracha going, and then fix what you missed. What do you mean? Just say Lamdeni Chukecha, middle of Shemon Esrei? Say Baruch Ata Hashem toward the end of one of the brachas, and you realize, whoops, I missed a phrase, so now I'm just going to say Lamdeni Chukecha? Yeah, I just say Lamdeni Chukecha. How can I do that in middle of Shemon Esrei? Says the Ritva, it's fine. You're allowed to add in irrelevant phrases in middle of Shemon Esrei. So Lamdeni Baruch Ata Hashem, Lamdeni Chukecha is an irrelevant phrase. That's what he quotes from one of his Rebbeim. The Ritva himself disagrees and says, no. If the mistake is something that you would not have to go back for, so you missed it, so just finish the bracha. Don't say Lamdeni Chukecha. If the mistake will require you going back rather than finishing the bracha and then repeating the entire thing, then you could say Lamdeni Chukecha. So even according to the Ritva himself, who doesn't like the idea of throwing in a Lamdeni Chukecha, but he at least acknowledges the possibility that you could sometimes do that. The Bir Halacha in Siman Kuf Yudal Tzivav also says that if you realize after you said Baruch Ata Hashem that you missed Mashav HaRuach, he also says, just say Lamdeni Chukech and go back to fix it. And the same if you realize that you missed Yal V'Yavo after having said Baruch Ata Hashem. So from all these sources, what you do see from the Bir Halacha, from the Ritva, from Achilles Yaakov, is that apparently there is something about being able to say extraneous phrases in davening. So, but that's different than your case, right? The case you were asking, I was talking to your campers. The thing about these extraneous phrases is you're still talking to Hashem the whole time. You're just throwing in other phrases of talking to Hashem in the middle of Shemon Esrei.
Aren't we supposed to add stuff during Shema?
So let's talk about that. Yeah, we'll get that in a second. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Arachayim Chelik Dalet Simen Tzadi Gimel. He says that you can't say Lamdeni Chukecha because you can't just add Pesukim in the middle of Tefillah. He says, if you remember after Baruch Ata Hashem that you missed Yalav Yavo or Mashav HaRuach, finish the Bracha, go back and repeat it just like if you realize after the Bracha is over. Meaning once you have Baruch Ata Hashem, it's Ki'ilu, the Bracha is over already. So Rav Moshe in Archaim Chel Gimel Simon Ches writes that to add phrases, he says, Pashut Shehu Hefsek the usher. It's possible that adding a phrase is a hefsek and it's usher. V'lo mi baya be'emtza brachos, not only in the middle of a bracha, ela afilu bein aprakim, even in between brachos v'afilu pesukah dezimra have a hefsek. Even adding phrases in pesukah dezimra is a hefsek, because pesukah dezimra is sandwiched by brachos also. You have baruch shamar at the beginning and yishtavach at the end. So that's also a hefsek. V'yesh l'chavin b'nuschos shetiknu lanu chazal kafi minakal makom. He says, if you daven Nusach Sfarad, there are a whole bunch of phrases that are added in that you don't have a Nusach Ashkenaz. He says, yeah, you should be loyal to a Nusach. Whichever Nusach you daven, be loyal to that, and don't just add in extra phrases. And b'di'evet, by tefillah, since it's mezid, you're chozel l'rosh. And someone who thinks that it's mutter is not like a shogeg. He says, because it's not about that we're punishing you that you have to repeat Shemon Esrei. It's not a punishment, it's just that you were mafsik. So you have to repeat Shemon Esrei. So you were trying to do something that was not actually part of the tefillah. So Moshe is very, very strong about this, that any extraneous phrase in tefillah, even in Pesukah Dezimra, is absolutely, absolutely awesome.
Similar idea in Safnas Paneach, the Ragat Shavim, in Simreish Ayin Zayin, Safnas Paneach says that it's asr to be mafsuk with other words. And he says, it may not be considered Mishalim Mabeah Shetavach Chamin because the conclusion of the bracha is proper, but he said it's still a hafsuk in the bracha. So you have this one opinion about adding phrases of Rav Moshe, the Ragat Shavim, very, very strong against adding phrases. On the other hand, there is a Tshuva Sefer called Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo. Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo was written by Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger was one of the most prolific writers. He wrote many, many tshuvas. He wrote so many long tshuvas that it was very hard for people to read through his tshuvas. So someone came up with an idea of, I'm not sure who it was, maybe it was him or someone else, came up with an idea of taking a thousand of his tshuvas and summarizing them in a paragraph or two. And they published a one-volume sefer called Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, right? A thousand of Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas condensed. So it turns out it was a good idea because it's pretty much the only tshuva sefer from Rav Shlomo Kluger that people really use because it's so easy to use. So he writes, he's mechalik between someone who's mispal b'tzibur versus someone who's mispal b'yachidus. He says, if you're mispal b'tzibur, you could add things like this because since it's mutter to be mispal b'chaloshon when you're mispal b'tzibur, so adding extra phrases in Lashon HaKodesh is like being mispal b'chaloshon. I mean, are you allowed to daven in other languages? So the halach is, when you're mispal b'yachidus, no. When you're mispal b'tzibur, yes. So obviously when you misspell in English, you may be adding all sorts of phrases because you can never get a perfectly precise, exact translation. So when you add a number of words, it's as if you added phrases in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's not considered a hafsid, just like a piyutim that you add in the middle of tefillah. But if you misspell the yechidus, even if it's not exactly like being misspelled b'shal l'shonos, it's l'chora hafsid and it's like sicha b'teila. That's what Shlomo Kluger writes. That kibun shall call panim enul mezid rak sober to mitzvah covered have become a mutter v'lchein enul tzorach l'atzor l'spal. At the very least, you're not going to have to daven again. But he says, l'chalchil, I still don't think you should do it. V'amosef goreya v'ashem atov yichaper ba'adam. He says that by being mosef into tefillah, you're being goreya. Right? There's this principle in Baltos, and they call a mosef goreya. What does it mean, call a mosef goreya? You think, I'm going to add a fifth corner to my tzitzis or whatever. So I'm being mosef. No, you're being goreya because you're taking away the mitzvah. You add a fifth partial tefillah, you're not even yotzi the mitzvah tefillah. Right? You're being mosef as goreya. So he uses that expression over here. By being mosef to the tefillah, you're being goreya. He makes the same distinction in his real tshuva sefer in Tuv Tam Vadas, Madura Kami or the Simulation Aleph. And it's based on Allah and Shulchan Aruch and Simul Kof Aleph that somebody davening b'yichidus is only allowed to daven in Hebrew, but somebody davening b'tzibur is allowed to daven b'shal l'shonos.
You mentioned that this also is the first parak by Rain and Dew, but doesn't the second parak just add everything?
What do you mean?
By fasting, we add seven brachos, one extension. So what does go against?
No, but those that they were misaki, that was part of the takanas of those brachos that they were misaki by the fasters. Good point. So those are two opinions. You have Rav Moshe, on the one hand, absolutely could never add anything. Rav Shlomo Kluger, that b'tzibur is makom to be mekil, even though he doesn't like it. There is a tshuva from Rabbi Nasha Klein, the Ungvaru Rav, in Chelek Hesim L'Chavav of Mishnah Lachos. The Ungvaru Rav, because he was from Ungvar, which happens to be where my grandfather, Sanzang Gesunt, is from. My grandfather's from Ungvar, his last name is also Klein, so I assumed that we must have been related to Rabbi Nasha Klein. But my grandfather told me half the city's last name was Klein. It wasn't an indication of any relation. Though he did say that they used to have, right after, in the decades following the Holocaust, in the 50s and 60s, people from different towns used to get together every once in a while. Like they'd have an annual get-together. So all the people from Ungvar that lived in Flatbush and Borough Park would get together, and they'd have, a little asifa or whatever. So my grandfather, Menashe Klein, used to come. He would come. Elie Wiesel, I think, even came once. He was also from Ungvar. So they would connect in that way. So my mother says she remembers, I think it was at their house once, and she remembers when Menashe Klein was there. And one of these, I think my mother told me that once. I could be wrong. But maybe she remembers my grandfather telling her. So anyway, so Menashe Klein was a chashuvah talmid. And he's a very charif personality, but that's for a different time. So he brings from a number of Rishonim, including the Tshuva Rashba, that the idea of being Mishanim, Mabeah, Shetavacham, Brachas is only in the Ikar Bracha. But whenever it's a bracha arucha, it's a long bracha, and there are a whole bunch of extra phrases in the bracha, and it's not just, you know, the core bare bones of the bracha. You're allowed to be mishanim ha'peya, you're allowed to add extra phrases, and he proves this from the fact that there are different nuschos and different sibdurim, and nobody calls that mishanim ha'peya. No one has a problem with the fact that, like we said before, that nusach svard has extra phrases. And he concludes by distinguishing between regular people and big tzaddikim. And he says, "Hayotzi mitvareinu dinira de'in b'zem mishum hafsik." He says it's not a hafsik. Va'af shekasu ha'gonim de'lechadchil ein lasos kein. Even though the gonim say lechadchil you shouldn't do it, lo kasu kein alahamon. That's for regular people. De'lav kolarotz alita l'ashem yitol. Not everyone should be just composing their own phrases in tefillah. But someone who has sincere kavanos, we cannot censure him. The reason they said you shouldn't do it is because they saw too many people were doing it. He says for Bnei Aliyah, for special people, there's no Isser. In fact, Rav Meir Arik in Imre Yosher, it's so funny, I just happened to have quoted Rav Meir Arik in the earlier Council Shir, and that was on the topic of payas. Nothing to do with this, but I don't know how often I quote Rav Meir Arik on things. Rav Meir Arik was a pre-war gadol. He was a gonadir. So he has a tshuva sefer called Imre Yosher. First day I was in Rav Shechter Shir, my entire life, he quoted Rav Meir Arik. First time I ever heard of him. He quoted him about the thing I quoted earlier with the payas. Rav Meir Arik holds that even though the Shulchan Aruch says that your payas are supposed to go at sofa ozen, Rav Meir Arik holds that it doesn't count the earlobe. At sofa ozen means that your sideburns should go to the end of the cartilage part of the ear, which is the whole thing is a pella, because we were always brought up that when you go to the barber, what do you tell him? The bone. It's all about the bone. So it's unclear where that comes from, the bone. But it doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, there's svaras, but I'm not going to get into it now. That was the earlier council shiur. But anyway, so Meir Arik says that it's not a hafsik to say extra phrases in the middle of your tefillah, because he says it's only in your tefillah. But he says, "Ein lasos kein l'kol adam, shelo kol arotz elita l'sashem yavo v'yital, aval misha ro'i l'ital vade in yisr b'davar." He says that not everybody should do that, because not everyone wants to claim that their sovchashuv should be able to do that. So I got an email from someone with a beautiful thought about the machlokas between Rav Moshe and Kleisenberger. Meaning, Kleisenberger obviously held it was mutter. At least for him it was mutter. Right? I don't know if he told other people to do it, but he obviously held for him it was mutter, because he did it all the time. That's what Rav Moshe Weiss described. Everyone knew that Kleisenberger would scream out in the middle of his tefillah, Heilig Bashefer or whatever, right? Tata in Himmel. Whereas Rav Moshe said, absolutely yasser to do that. And then we had, what did we have? We had the shita of, who was the in-between shita? Rosh Shlomo Kluger, who said that it makes a difference whether you're b'yichidus or b'tzibur, that if it's b'yachid, then you're not allowed to because you got to daven in Hebrew, but b'tzibur, where you're allowed to daven b'shar l'shonos. And then we had Rav Menashe Klein and Rav Meir Arik, that it doesn't depend on yachid versus tzibur, it depends on if you're an adam gadol or not, if you're a very holy person or not. That a very holy person is allowed to do it, which is unbelievable. It's like different standards for a holy person, but that a holy person is allowed to do it, but other people should not do it because they're messing too much with the tefillah. So I got an email that said as follows. Rav Moshe, whose big milchama was against the conservative movement, took a hard line. We see many of his psak were very sharp lines in the sand for that reason. The Kleisenberger Rebbe's big tafkid was rebuilding Klal Yisrael post-Holocaust. He had to infuse spirituality and hope and meaning to Yiddishkeit. That's why he supported adding oys and other sounds to the tefillah. He would just scream out, oy! In the middle of a tefillah. It's through the personal that one can build a connection. So that's an interesting ha'ara, that each one was fighting a different milchama, each one was doing something, you know, very, very, was trying to accomplish something very different in terms of, if you ever read Rav Moshe's Tshuvas, where he talks about, conservative rabbis, it's like, he is so charif against conservative rabbis, that, you know, and that, why? Because that's what he was fighting in the 1940s and 50s. The conservative movement was picking up huge steam. Mechitzas were coming down in shuls across the country. Everyone was going conservative. They thought that there was no future for Orthodox Judaism. Rav Moshe had to make a mochama gedola against it. And one of the things that the conservative movement was doing was that they were changing tefillah. So if they were changing tefillah, Rav Moshe was, you cannot change tefillah at all. No eyes, no anything, no Heilige Bashefer, no nothing. Right? So that's what this person is suggesting. Rav Moshe had to be very strong about that. Kleisenberger Rebbe was trying to give hope to a broken people. He lost 11 children and many of his Hasidim were the same. And he was trying to rebuild people's connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam after they thought that the Ribbono Shel Olam abandoned them. So that was his goal. It's fascinating. If you read about the Kleisenberger Rebbe, he was a fascinating person. His life was just amazing. Even when he came to America, his decision to move to America wasn't meant to be permanent. Throughout everything he went through in the Holocaust, he always had in mind that he wanted to settle in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he established Kiryat Sanz by Netanya in 1958. He was the first Rebbe to set up a Haredi neighborhood in an Israeli development town. Right? Everyone else, they'd go to Yerushalayim. And he raised money for the establishment of like major institutions, boys' schools, girls' schools, yeshivas, an orphanage, an old age home. And then he also founded a community in Union City in New Jersey. I think Rav Asher Weiss's brother lives there. Rav Asher Weiss has a bunch of brothers. I think one of them is the Yav based in Union City. And Laniado Hospital, Rav Asher points out, it wasn't so easy to build a hospital 50 years ago in Israel. Why would a Rebbe build a hospital? Did any other Rebbe do that? He said it was part of his general hashkafa. He met Ben-Gurion and they had a fascinating conversation. Ben-Gurion asked for his minimal and maximum expectation. And he said, my minimum expectation is that you allow me to wear my shtreimel. Meaning, right? Ben-Gurion said, what do you expect in the Medina, in Medina's Yisrael? What do you expect to be, what do you expect from the Medina? So the Kleisenberger Rebbe said, my minimal expectation from the Medina is that I'm allowed to wear my shtreimel. My maximum expectation is that you're going to wear a shtreimel, he said to Ben-Gurion. His expectations were fulfilled somewhere in the middle, right? He was allowed to do more than wear a shtreimel, but he felt that you need to be involved and engaged and responsible even for the gashmius of the tzibur. It had nothing to do with expanding his own chatzer. He didn't build a hospital to build his own following. A gadol ador was shakua b'tar. He didn't waste time. This is something that you find with a lot of the chassidish gadolim, that they weren't only concerned about their own chassidus, the really great ones. They weren't only concerned about their own chassidus. They were concerned about Klal Yisrael, and not just about the chassidus, but with the gadolim also. Rav Aaron Cutler is one that started the yeshiva in Philadelphia by sending a few of his best people to go start a yeshiva there. Right? This was something that was done in Europe also. The altar would send the bachrim out to different places, some of his best bachrim, because they wanted to start a yeshiva there. He was about building Klal Yisrael. He wasn't about building his own chassidus. Rabbi Sukelik just told me last night that there was a Mizrahi guy who needed a surgery or something. He had to come to America. He didn't have any money. And someone said the Satmar Rebbe helps with these things. But he was a big Zionist. He's going to the Satmar Rebbe, let's keep us through God. And he goes, the Satmar Rebbe gave him all the money that he needs for it. And then he said, but before you go back to Eretz Yisrael, I want you to come back to me. And before he went back to Eretz Yisrael, he's like, oh no, now he's going to give it to me over the head, that with the Zionist and Yimach Shemam, Arurim, whatever, and he's going to give me. So he goes back to the Sabi Rabbi. The Sabi Rabbi said, Mestama, you're going to have a hard time finding a job again. It's going to be hard for you to get yourself back on your feet. He gave him $10,000 more to be able to, because it wasn't about that. It was about Chesed, it was about Klal Yisrael. Yeah, he had his extreme Ashkafos. But that's what a lot of, when the Kleisenberger Rebbe built Laniano Hospital, it wasn't because he wanted to build a hospital for Kleisenberger Hasidim. He built a hospital because Klal Yisrael, he wanted a hospital that was a from hospital. At the Cornerstone Lane for the second building in 1980, he said in Yiddish, he said, I was saved from the gas chambers, I was saved from Hitler. I spent several years in Nazi death camps. Besides the fact that they murdered my wife and 11 children, my mother, my sisters, and my brother, of my whole family, 150 close family members, I was the only one who survived. I witnessed all the achzarios of the Nazis. He said, I remember, as if it were today, how they shot me in the arm. I was afraid to go to the Nazi infirmary, even though there were doctors there, because I knew if I'd went in, I would never come out alive. And despite my fear of the Nazis, I plucked a leaf from a tree, I stuck it to my wound to staunch the bleeding, then I cut a branch and I tied it around the wound to hold it in place. With God's help, it healed in 3 days. Then I promised myself that if with God's help I got well and got out of there and away from those Rishayim, I would build a hospital in Eretz Yisrael where every human being, not every Kleisenberger Chassid, every human being would be cared for with dignity. and the basis of that hospital would be that the doctors and nurses would believe that there is a God in this world, and that when they treat a patient, they're fulfilling the greatest mitzvah in the Torah. Unbelievable. This was a Kleisenberger Rebbe. So Kleisenberger Rebbe, you can be meichel him a few heilige b'shefers in the middle of his Shemoneh Esrei, right, without yelling that he's being mafsid. Right. It's a little bit about talking during Shemoneh Esrei. Right.